Let's give Dave a warm welcome.
To the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, just thank Him again. We've taught you before, you've been taught around this house, when a word goes to one person, you can receive it for yourself. If it applies to your life, parts of it apply to your life. But more than that, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Come on, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you again for touching people's hearts and lives. We thank you, Lord, for that prophetic unction that moving through our sister this morning, Lord God, to confirm, affirm, to challenge, even to a little bit of correction there, to know that you are there, that you've never leaving anybody, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we just give you glory right now, for your word is always anointed. And as we open it this morning, we thank you that it brings forth life and refreshing and impartation and challenge and change to our lives in Jesus' name. Okay, I saw a picture driving down here. I don't know if you realized a few weeks ago we had a major tornado, actually two of them that went through up in the Michigan. I know you guys had some down here too, but went up through Kalamazoo and came on over towards Battle Creek, and the sirens went for 2 hours. And mysteriously, the tornadoes like split and went over my house and went on different parts of the city. But I was driving down today, and I just saw, I had not been on this part of I-94 heading over to 131 to head down south here. And here was all this devastation of all these trees that have been topped by straight-line winds or tornadoes that had knocked them over. And I just felt that that was a picture for some of you in your lives right now. You're feeling like you've just been decimated. The tornadoes just come in, and whirlwinds come in. It's destroyed things in your life. It's uprooted things. Some needed to be uprooted, but it's uprooted things. Things seem to be gone. But as I was driving along, I noticed that there was new growth right at the base of the tree. Come on, all along the highway, I could see there was new growth. And there were trees that hadn't been quite so high, that didn't get toppled, that didn't get cut off. Come on. And so I just felt the word of the Lord was that there is new growth. He's not giving up on you. And even though things may seem at times in your life like, where's God in the midst of all of this situation? And it seems like the whirlwind has come and it's knocked trees down and it's messed up your life. And it's more than an inconvenience. You know the great thing about that tornado? Nobody died, those tornadoes that came through there. Come on. In the midst of all the destruction, I mean millions of dollars of destruction, no deaths. See, the enemy comes in, he tries to steal, kill, destroy. He comes in to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And yet even in the midst of a storm, you may feel like you're in one right now. Know that there's still new growth, and not all the roots were pulled out. Come on, and God is still moving in your life. Come on, say, God's moving in my life. God is still moving in my life. And even though you may not understand what's going on around you, hang on to the fact that there is new growth, and not all the roots were pulled out. Come on. And there's always going to be new life springing forth. Amen? You know, I think it's the sequoias out in California state. The seed has to have a certain amount of fire to cause it to break open so that it can be implanted and then grow. And it's the tallest trees that we have in North America. But it takes the fire to break the outer shell of the seed so that it can be planted and grow. We'll just focus on that a little bit here this morning. Amen. So, Acts chapter 19. We're going to jump right into it here. How many of you know that this is Whit Sunday? You don't even know what that is. How many of you know that this is Shabbat? How many of you know that this is Pentecost Sunday? All right, Pentecost Sunday. Why? Because Penta, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter, right? So Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so all around the world today, this day, people are celebrating. Most of them, I think the Orthodox still have their calendar off differently from ours, the Orthodox Church. But the majority of Christians around the world are celebrating Pentecost. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came in power. And one of our keynote verses that we always do around here is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you shall receive..." Come on, it's right up there. You've got no excuse this morning. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And so we celebrate this with the rest of the people around the planet. They're celebrating Pentecost. The first church was really started that day with those 120 believers, and then those 3,000 that got saved under the preaching of Peter's message. Okay? Amen? That was Pentecost. Now let's flip on over here to Acts chapter 19. Paul is at Ephesus. Don't want to take a lot of time to recap. and get into this, but we're going to go back to the beginning of Acts here in a minute. But I just want you to see something here. In Acts chapter 18, verse 23, all of a sudden, Paul is going to finish his second missionary journey. He's going to start the third missionary journey. And it's only like one verse in between the two. Paul has spent over 14 years planting at least 14 churches, and he's traveled more than 10,000 miles walking. During his ministry, in the book of Acts, he's traveled over 10,000 miles of walking. Now, that would be like you or I starting in New York City, walking out to Los Angeles and back four times.
Oh my word.
That's how much traveling and distance. It was 3,000 miles just to get up to Ephesus from Jerusalem.
Wow.
It was a long trek to get up there. And the Apostle Paul has gone and he's ministered, and he's done at least 10,000 miles. Come on, he's gone to bring forth the gospel, and he's gone and he's ministered in all these different churches, and now he wants to retrace his steps here in Acts chapter 18. He has a burden. Let me say burden. He has a burden. Back in Acts 15, he said to Barnabas, let us go back and see the churches, the believers that we left there and those churches that we planted, and let's basically go back and see how they're doing. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, I'm in the pains of childbirth for you until Christ is formed in you. See, he's always interested in conversions, salvations, discipleship, people praying. He asks them to pray for him all the time. He's interested in the Word of God going forth, Bible study. He's always interested in evangelism. Paul is always on. He doesn't allow himself to have an off day, even when he's been beaten, drug out to the edge of the city, and left for dead. Come on, he jumps back up healed and wants to go back into town to preach again. That's our goal, see, that we would be like that. We'd have that kind of burden for one another. And so Paul is asking some important spiritual questions. Now he's come back to Ephesus. If you remember through our study earlier, he wanted to go to Ephesus before, and they wanted him to stay. And he said, no, if the Lord wants me to, I'll come back. And it was one of the major cities, 500,000 people at that time, had the great temple of Artemis or Diana, the Roman goddess there, and it's a massive temple. It was actually four times bigger than anything they have in Rome. It was a huge temple, one of the seven wonders of the world. And so he's like, if the Lord wills, I will come back to Ephesus. And he does. The Lord wills. So now let's look right here down in verse 1 of chapter 19. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. Again, this is a long trek, walking up, visiting all these churches on the way back up to get up to Ephesus. And he gets up to Ephesus and he visits them, and he found some certain disciples, and he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now I want to just stop here for a second. This is not the usual way that Paul starts a conversation with people. He doesn't usually go to the churches that he's starting a brand new church, and any of the first words out of his mouth are, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Come on. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, according to King James? And so he says that. Now why would he do that? Because he saw maybe there's something evidently lacking in their life, so no maybe about it, and he discerned that it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now this says that there were disciples. Everybody look at what it says again. It says, and there were some disciples, other translations, certain disciples in there, and we find out as we read through this passage, there's actually 12 of them, 12 men, and he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just give you a little background history here. The denomination I was in, I'm being honest with you, the only time I ever heard my whole life about the Holy Spirit was in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, swish, for baptism. That was the only time they ever talked about the Holy Spirit. Never talked about having a communion with the Father. Never talked about having the Spirit live on the inside of you, lead you and guide you. We didn't know that because most of the things in the Bible had ceased because they were cessationist. And so we never knew. So there were a lot of people in that congregation that I could have walked up to and said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they would have said, I don't know what you're talking about. I guess I've run across his name there in the Bible a couple of times, but I don't know what you're talking about. And so Paul's talking to these guys. And he says, well, then what happened? What baptism did you receive then? No, we've not even heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may be sitting in this room, some of you may be watching this right now, and you've never heard about the Holy Spirit. Come on. The Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said over and over again, it's expedient for you, for me to go to heaven, because if I don't go to heaven, I can't send the Holy Spirit to you. And he says, but it's to your benefit if I go to heaven, because I can send the Holy Spirit. He's been with you, but now he's going to come and live on the inside of you. In fact, you can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. That's a good place for an amen. Come on. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that comes into you when you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You believe with your mouth, confess with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you will be saved. Amen. And the Holy Spirit comes in. He's the agent. He's the presence of God, comes in and recreates your spirit. And you get a new spirit. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, then how come I still got wrinkles? You know, if you got saved and you had wrinkles, you probably still have them, right? You know, unless you're believing really hard for those wrinkles to regress. I have more wrinkles now because I lost 60 pounds. All my natural Botox is gone. So you're seeing the real me, the thinner I get, right? Okay, we find. But the Holy Spirit is so important. And so many churches shy away from the topic of the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit, or they think the Holy Spirit's just a power, not a person. But around this house, I believe you guys know the Holy Spirit's a person. Amen? Come on, third person of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sing songs about that, right? And so he says to them, well, okay, then you don't know, you've never even heard about the Holy Spirit. And he says, then what have you been baptized into? And they said, into John's baptism. Now this is John, the original Baptist. Hello? John the Baptist, and what was he preaching? Do you remember? He was John the, you know, some of the churches I've been in, it's like, John, you know, John the original Baptist who wrote the King James Bible? No, never mind. Use the King James. Never mind. If you're a good Baptist, you use King James. Anyway. But it has to be the exact certain year. It can't be, you know, it can't be after it's been, anyway. Enough of that. Doesn't matter. John the Baptist, remember, tell me something about John the Baptist. Forerunner to Jesus, kicked his mother when Mary came into the house and was talking to John's mother. Then he leapt for joy in her womb. He had the Holy Spirit too, right? And John the Baptist, who went on out and he was preaching, repent, and he was water baptizing people. Now, water baptism wasn't an unusual thing. They did it. There were actually pools there at the temple for water baptism to get cleansed, ceremonially cleansed from sin and stuff like that. But John was giving a call for repent and believe on him who is coming. And in fact, the scripture says John prophesied several times, and he says, not only, for the first time, John chapter 1, verse 33, he looks out and he says, and the Lord said to me, the one that I see the Spirit of God come upon like a dove, that's the Son of God, that's the Messiah. And he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he prophesies, there's the Lamb of God. Jesus is just walking over to be water baptized at the River Jordan, and John says, there's the Lamb of God. And he says, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, like a little King James every once in a while. He'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on. And so he says, well, okay, so you were water baptized for repentance for the Messiah that was going to be coming. Evidently, they've not received the totality and the fullness about the Messiah yet, have they? They might, you know, we're 3,000 miles away from Jerusalem. And so maybe they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit coming and descending. Maybe they didn't even know that Jesus had already died on the cross and been resurrected. So look what he says to them. So Paul says, John baptized you with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him. Who's the him? Come on, tell me, who's the him? Jesus, who was coming after him, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? That means they were born again. If they hadn't been born again, they got born again. Because remember our routine here? What comes first? Salvation, baptism in water, or baptism in the Holy Spirit? What comes first? You guys are not sure? Salvation. Salvation comes first. Then you can be water baptized or baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive the empowering, the power of God. Amen? Amen. But what comes first? Salvation. Thank you. Come on. We'll make a good evangelical Baptist type Baptist church out of you. What? Salvation! Most important thing! Come on! And the others are subsequent gifts and outward demonstration of what took place on the inside in your heart. Now, maybe in your life, you might have been coerced into getting water baptized when you were a kid because everybody else was. Okay, I'm going to tell on myself. So I'm 13, my sister is 11, and we're at the Baptist church, and she decides she wants to be water baptized because, you know, in our denomination, we had to be age of accountability. which basically meant, you know, when you knew right from wrong, you know, that's when you're going to go to hell if you died, okay? And so, you know, they usually had water baptism around that age. And so my sister wanted to be water baptized. I said, well, I'm not going to let this little snot get water baptized with it before me. So we both got water baptized, and it gets even worse. And I was the president, and she was the youth president, or youth group assistant president, and neither one of us were saved. But we were churched. Hello? Any churched people in here? You grew up in the church, you still don't know if you're saved? There has to come a day and an hour when you know that you're saved. You know, you may have been born in the back pew, but you know, you're not getting into heaven because of your grandma's aprons. Come on. You still got to come into that place where you walk into your own salvation. Sometimes it's progressive. We don't really know. All of a sudden, you just know that you know that you believed. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And that's valid salvation. But what has to happen is, so we got water baptized. But it wasn't until I was 15 when I totally committed to the Lord. Okay, was I saved before that? Probably because on the buses, I think I told you this before, they would scare the hell out of you on the way to the church. Do you know this bus could crash and burn and all of you little children would end up in eternal damnation hellfire? Here's your prize for bringing your next door neighbor friend on the bus. I'm serious. I was in the South. Some of you have been down South, you know what I'm talking about. So I know I prayed the prayer half a dozen times before that. But at 15, I knew that I knew. How many folks in here do we have that know that you know that you know you're saved? Hello, if they came and put a gun to your head and said, do you know whether you're saved or not? If you're saved, I'm going to shoot you. If you're not, come on. Do you know that you know that you're saved? You know where you would go if you were to die this very moment. You go to heaven. You're not just a hoping. I have relatives in certain denominations. I feel so sorry for them. They can live a godly life their whole life and still not know till the end whether they're going to make it into heaven. Because God might choose them, but might not choose them. No matter how they live their life. No matter how they prayed, no matter how they asked Christ in their heart. A very sad situation. But we have this assurance. Yeah. How do you know you're saved? Well, the preacher told me. Ah! Wrong answer. Mm-hmm. How do you know you're saved? Well, I prayed that prayer in that mega church when they said, everybody pray right now. Everyone close your eyes and say this. And if you meant it in your heart, you're saved. Ah! Wrong answer. How do you know that you're saved? You confess Christ with your mouth. You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. And you're born again. And the Holy Ghost comes in and recreates your spirit, and you have the witness of salvation on the inside of you. Doesn't matter whether you're speaking in tongues at that moment, you have the witness. You know that you know you're born again. And if you don't know that you know you're born again today, then we can have an altar call for you right now. Come on, you need to know and not hope. Because once you know that you know, no one can talk you out of it. Come on. No one can take away your salvation. No one can cause you to deny Christ if you truly know that you know he's your Savior. I don't know everything that goes on around me in my life, but I know this. If I were to drop dead right now, I'd be absent from this body, present with the Lord. Now, it's not going to happen for another 118 years. Or no, I mean another 68 years, whatever. 120, anyway. Wow, all that's in here, right? So Paul says, what baptism did you receive? And he leads them into salvation, and they're water baptized. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, everybody say and. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy, and there were about 12 men there. And we're going to stop right there for a second, because we're going to go back and we're going to see where this starts here in the next few minutes that we have left. Go back to Acts chapter 1. I know, I apologize, Angela, jumping all over the place. I haven't even consulted my notes yet, really. So, Acts chapter 1. Let's go down here. Could we read some words from Jesus? Is that okay to look at Jesus' words today? Now, I don't know about the screen, but in my Bible, they're in red, so they're easy to find. Read the red. Do what he said. Come on, everybody. Read the
red.
Do what he
said.
One more time, you're going to learn something today. Read the
red.
And do what he said. Come on. So look here in Acts chapter 1, and if you had a Bible here that has red letter, you would see down here in verse 4 of chapter 1, Jesus, gathering them together, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Now I know King James says tarry, and that means to wait, right? Tarry. Not the person's name, but it means to wait, T-A-R-R-Y. tarry and wait upon. And look what he says here, and he says, wait. He commanded not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Who had promised? The Father had promised. Jesus reiterated it. John prophesied that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit and baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so it says here, wait for what the Father has promised, which, now Jesus is talking, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, sorry, King James, I'm in the brain. Holy Spirit, not many days from now. You will be baptized not many days from now. Now, this is right as Jesus is ascending up into heaven. Now, we talked about this before. I'm sure you've learned about it here in this house before, that Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he stayed on the earth for another 40 days. He stayed, 40 days, confirmation. He stayed on the earth with his disciples. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says at one point he was seen by 500 people at one time. Come on. Plus his brothers who had previous to his resurrection hadn't believed in Jesus. Plus all the different people, all the people he manifested his presence to, that they saw him, those disciples on the road to Emmaus, all those things, right? Now he stayed for 40 days, and I believe he's training them, he's imparting to them, he's explaining to them everything that he had taught them for those three and a half years. In fact, John 20 tells us that he comes on into the room, they freak out because they think it's a ghost walking through the wall. Come on, remember on Resurrection Sunday? Two big Sundays in the Bible. Resurrection Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. Two big Sundays in here. One is salvation, freedom from sin, new life impartation. The second one, impartation with power to be a witness and live a witnessing life. Two big Sundays. So when he says to them, tarry, he's saying, wait until you receive the fullness of the power. He's already breathed on them in John 20. I believe at that point, those certain disciples he breathed on were born again. Because he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And the word there is pneuma, and he breathed on them. Kind of like God breathed on Adam, and Adam became a living human, right? Remember, in the garden? So he breathes on. So I believe they're born again. But now he's saying you need to wait until you are empowered for ministry, for service. Amen? Anybody understand? So that's what he's saying to them. Wait and tarry. One of the saddest things, I was talking to Pastor Jan about this yesterday, I think it was, and I mentioned about how in my youth I was preaching, I was probably 21, 22, I was preaching at a denominational church, and I gave an altar call for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and in that setting they wanted to dismiss everybody, and those who wanted to receive, we went on the back room. So about half a dozen people go in the back room, and I'm starting to pray for this one guy, and I would just went through five scriptures like you do, brother. The Acts 5 that give all the illustrations on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm talking to this older gentleman, and I said, and he said to me, I have been tarrying for the Holy Spirit for 47 years. Now I'm 21, 22, so I don't have a lot of sense at this point, right? Because I almost wanted to slap him and say, well, what are you waiting on? Right? Because it's amazing how people focus on certain words and not others. He said, tarry until you be endued. Why didn't he focus on the endued power from on high? Why didn't he focus on they were all filled, like we're going to see here in Acts chapter 2? But instead, he focused on the tarry. And in his denomination, for years, they would go to the altar and they would tarry and they'd wait there, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And then in his case, and force him, move his tongue, his lips, and force him to speak in tongues. He was tarrying 47 years. So I went through the scriptures like you do, brother. And I went through those scriptures at the end of it, and I said, now, is there any reason you can't receive right now? Why have I been tarrying 47 years? I said, yes, let's forget about that, because now you've seen the scriptures, you've seen the light of it. Whosoever will can come and be saved, right? Whosoever will can come and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whosoever will can come and get prayer for healing. Come on, it's all there in the Bible, right? And prayed with him, and he was gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And then he's like, why did I wait 47 years? Bad teaching. Kind of like these disciples we just read over in Acts chapter 19. We don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. How sad that the empowering agent and person of the Godhead, who wants to come and not just be by us or fall on us every once in a while, give us goosebumps during the worship service. Come on. But he wants to come and live on the inside of us, to lead us and guide us, to be the paraclete, to be the advocate, to be the helper, to be the counselor. Come on. And yet we're sitting there, some people through ignorance, some through just willful, I'm not going to take that, I'm not going to lose any kind of control of myself whatsoever type of mentality. And they don't embrace what God has given for them. He says, tarry, wait. You know how long they waited for? Not 47 years. 10 days. And that's the only instance where anybody was told to wait to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the only instance we have in the Bible where anyone was told to wait. So we got to kind of throw that dogma out of our church, right? You know, we're going to go tarry at the altar and wait for the Holy Ghost to come on us and force us to speak in tongues and move in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, that's not Bible. Okay, so anyway, look at down verse 8. We've already talked about this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest, uttermost part of the earth. And so we've been talking through the book of Acts. That's what we're doing. We're following Jerusalem first, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. What happened in Jerusalem? We're going to see it here on the day of Pentecost. Those 120 are all baptized in the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in other tongues and tell the wonders of God in the whole city. There's something like 15 different nations that are there that recognize them speaking in their languages. Now they're not, listen to me, they're not talking to the people. They were talking to God. They were praising God. And these 15 other nations who had gathered there, they were Jews who had come together for a Passover. Those guys heard the voice of the Lord, them praising God in their own languages. Talk about supernatural. And I've heard of stories and known of people who, one service where a woman stood up and shouted out in tongues, and later on, and then somebody stood up and gave an interpretation. And after the service, some guy came up to the pastor. In fact, I knew that pastor. And he came up to him and he says, "We're out in the middle of country Hicksville. How did that woman know Hebrew? And I'm a professor of Hebrew. And in fact, that wasn't just normal Hebrew. That was ancient Hebrew. How did she know that? And how did that guy translate that? Come on. Because it's Holy Ghost. It's supernatural. It's power of God. It's a sign and a wonder. It's a demonstration. And there's all kinds of stories of that happening. But the main reason you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues is so you can have a hotline to heaven. That the enemy cannot thwart your prayers. You pray in the Spirit. You're praying by the Spirit. He's giving you the words. It's going directly to the throne of God. The enemy cannot quench it. You pray in English. You know, he can come on in and attack that. But you're praying in the Spirit. It's my hotline to heaven. No one can. Come on. It lets you know you're saved. I've shared with you before. Easiest way to get out of the mully grubs or whatever that is. Easiest way to get out of your depression. Easiest way to get out of all the things that are attacking you and pressing against your mind is to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and read the Bible. Read the Bible with your mind where you're praying in the Holy Ghost with your spirit. Come on. Jude tells us, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Okay, I'm running out of time, and we got to get to the verses here. Look at it. This is all still good, isn't it? Is it okay? Yes. Come on. Preach it at me. Come on. Come on, you guys know the more amens, the quicker I go, the quicker you get to go eat. Oh, okay. No amens. Keep going. Acts chapter 2. Now, how many days have passed since Jesus ascended to heaven? 10. So they tarried a whole whopping week and 3 days. Okay? When the day of Pentecost had come, some translations say fully come, or was fulfilled, they were all together in one place. And I have to do my old preacher joke. And King James says, and they were all together in one accord. That ain't no Honda. Anyway, okay. Yeah, three of you hadn't heard it before, or you just gave me a courtesy laugh. Okay. They were all together in one accord. What's that mean? Unity. Wow. Get the people in church together, united around anything. Come on, that's when we've seen miracles before. When, you know, a lot of the evangelists that I know, healing evangelists, what they'll do is they'll say, at the end of the service, they'll pray for everybody, and then they'll say, now those of you who have places to be, things to do, leave, and we're going to just stay here at the altar and continue to pray. And then the people who have faith and hunger and anticipation and patience will stay and pray with them. And many of the evangelists that I know, the greatest miracles happen after the majority of the crowd has left. Because the unbelief is gone. Come on, I want to see some miracles. But you got 5 minutes to produce. Come on. So anyway, it says they were united together. They were all together. How many people? All. All of them together in one place, in one accord, in one unity. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. I love this word. so many times I keep threatening to write a whole sermon about it, and all the suddenlies in the Bible, all the unanticipated or even the anticipated things where God just showed up and knocked everybody out, and all the powerful things that happened. You know, there was a suddenly when they were lifting up their noise and their worship back in 2 Chronicles, and it says all of a sudden the glory of the Lord came into the temple. Come on, that was a suddenly. They didn't know that was going to happen, and when the glory of the Lord came in the temple, it knocked those guys, 2 Chronicles 5, knocked the priests to the floor. The ministers couldn't stand up to minister for the reason of the cloud, the glory, the presence of God, all the suddenlies. Anyway, so suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. A sound like a rushing wind where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on half of them. Come on, talk to me, church. Rested on every one of them who were in the room, who were united together, who were praying and seeking God. The fire rested on everyone. Everyone. No one was left out. It says, and there appeared to them tongues of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And half of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, talk to me. And all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Not half, not a third. Do you know one of the saddest statistics I heard a couple years ago is that less than 20% of the body of Christ, I'm going to say North America, prays in tongues, avails himself of the gift that God has made available to everybody. Less than 20%. And in Pentecostal charismatic churches like this, less than 50%. And I've never quite understood. Well, I kind of do because, you know, the old Baptist churches, they're singing our charismatic songs. Don't know what they're about, but they're singing our charismatic songs. And in our charismatic churches, we're singing all the Baptist songs of doubt and unbelief and God's way out there, and maybe he'll come down and touch us. There's been a marriage of churches, which can be good in some ways, but not if we lose fundamentals. And the fundamental is here, the Holy Spirit came down, and how many were covered with fire? All of them. And how many were filled? And how many spoke in tongues? The whole context there is every single one of them spoke in tongues. God didn't say, not you, but you, not you, but you. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them the words or the utterance. So who gives the words? Holy Spirit. Who does the talking? Ooh, this is where it's iffy. I've had people where I've had to go up, pastors, and I've had to have them read that verse right there again, over and over again. And I say, now read verse 4 for me again. Read verse 4. And what does it say? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them the utterance. Who did the talking? Holy Spirit. Read it again. And they were all filled with the Spirit. Who gives the words? Holy Spirit. Who does the talking? And they began to speak in other tongues. If you sit and wait when you're being prayed for, like this, with your teeth clenched, you can't even speak in English or Spanish or whatever your language is, Swahili, whatever it would be. You cannot speak if your teeth are clenched like this. You can't talk very well. You know what else? You can't pray in two languages instantaneously at the same time. Now, I know we joke and we have Spanglish around here. English, Spanish mixed together, you know, different countries are really bad at that. But you can't speak in a language, two different languages at one time.
That's right.
So if you're going, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. How could the Holy Spirit give you any words for you to speak if you're acting out of your mind, shouting out praise rather than just receiving and then speaking? Everybody understand? So look what it says again, because we're out of time. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, this was pretty bizarre for the whole city. In fact, it drew all those nations together. And they, what means this? What does this mean? Now, down at the end of chapter 2, Peter has stood up, anointed, filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit now, right? And he stood up and he preaches to all of them. And he preaches down towards the end, verse 37. And the people go, what should we do? They've heard this message. They're pierced to their hearts. They've been challenged. They've been convicted. And they say, what should we do? And what's Peter say in verse 38 of chapter 2? He says, Peter says, repent. What In other words, get saved, right? Turn to Jesus, repent, and be baptized. What's he talking about? Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right. Come on, and. Not you might. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For this promise is for you and your children and for all who are as far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. As many, we're the far off ones. I didn't say you're far out. I said far off. You're the far off ones. And this promise is still to us. Come on. It wasn't just for them. Now, if you're a cessationist, you say it all stopped after the last apostle, John, died at, you know, 90 years, 100 years old, whatever he was at the time. And just how sad that would be, right? That all the miracles, all the signs and wonders, all the gifts of the Spirit all died out with the last apostle. I can just picture. They've got the old apostle propped up here. He's sitting up in front. He's sitting on a platform. They're bringing all the people to be healed. And he's so tired, he can't lift his hand. Finally, somebody grabs his hand. They're putting his hand on him. Healings, 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 healings. Boom! John expires. And his associate stands up and says, "That's all, folks. That's it. The last apostle died. No more signs and wonders. No more miracles. No more presence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No more gifts of the Spirit. The last of the, all of that died with the last apostle to die." All right. How ignorant. I didn't say stupid. I wanted to. I said, how ignorant? Because ignorant can simply mean unlearned, right? Okay. Not studied out. We have so much in here to cover and not enough time to do it. Let me just say this. There's five examples. We're going to pray. You might as well sit for a minute. I'm saying we're going to cover and go ahead, but we're still going to take a minute. Five different instances in the book of Acts of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Anybody remember this first one? Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. What year do you think that was? Jesus was raised in around 30 AD. So this is the same time frame. So Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, or Jesus sends the Holy Spirit after he's ascended up into heaven. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, in Acts chapter 8, Philip goes down to Samaria. I'm rehearsing these because we don't have time to go through all the scriptures. Philip goes down to Samaria. He preaches. A whole bunch of people get saved, right? And what happens, it says, and Jerusalem heard about that, and they sent Peter and John to come down. Now, they're born again. Would everybody agree they're born again? Philip preached salvation. There were signs and wonders. They were born again. And so Philip sends a report back to Jerusalem. Now we're in Samaria. Remember, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So we're already fulfilling Acts 1:8, even at that moment. And so what happens, Peter and John come down and they lay hands on them and for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say explicitly there they spoke in tongues, yet Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of hands. How did he see? Well, either they're falling down on the floor, or they're speaking in tongues and prophesying, something was going on, and he wanted to have that power himself. That's a whole other story in Acts chapter 8, and we've already covered that in the past. But they received the Holy Spirit. Did they receive the Holy Spirit sovereignly? Did God fall on them and they started and received the Holy Spirit? No, hands were laid upon them. Okay? Third, in the book of Acts chapter 9, Paul, the apostle Saul, is blinded, he's in Damascus, and the Lord speaks to Ananias, and Ananias, the disciple, a certain disciple, comes to his house there at the on the street straight, and comes on in, and he lays hands on him. He says, I'm here to lay hands on you, that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does it say Paul spoke in tongues then? It doesn't say, but if you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul was a southerner. He said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. Said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. The whole city of Corinth, the churches he's trying to correct. Right, he speaks in tongues more than all. So we know Paul spoke in tongues. When did he receive? There in Acts chapter 9. That's 3 to 5 years after the day of Pentecost. Then we jump over to Acts chapter 10. Peter has a vision. Cornelius sends his men. They come. Peter walks on in and Peter's... Okay, so let's go back. Let's rehearse. I'm going too fast. Number one, sovereign. God drops people. They're seeking. They're receiving. Right? Number two, Acts chapter 8, hands are laid. Acts chapter 9, for Saul, Ananias comes in and hands are laid. Acts chapter 10, now we're about 10 to 12 years later. Cornelius' household, and what happens? Peter's come there just to tell them about salvation. He didn't even want to be there. Because a Jew is not going to sully and dirty his feet by going into a Gentile's compound into his house. Right? But as he's preaching about Jesus, let me say Jesus, as he's preaching about Jesus and salvation, evidently their hearts accepted Christ. And it says, and boom, the Holy Spirit fell on that crowd, just like the day of Pentecost. No hands were laid on them. There was no primer. There was no music. The lights weren't lowered. Come on, nothing. He's preaching Jesus, and the Holy Spirit falls on them because they're born again. And it says, then they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. That's probably 10 years later, right? Then we jump on over here to Acts chapter 19, which is a whole lot longer. 15 years later, whatever. Paul lays hands on them, and they do what? They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and prophesying and giving glory to God and manifesting or magnifying his name. Amen? So out of the five examples we have in the Bible, two you could almost call sovereign, where God's present. No one had to lay hands on them. You know, nobody laid hands on me, Pastor, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was a Baptist kid seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I read about it in the Bible more than just swish, Holy Spirit swish, right? I started reading it. It was dangerous, dangerous thing to be someone who believes the Bible and start reading the book of Acts. I'm just letting you know, dangerous thing. And so I said, I want this Holy Spirit. I want this Holy Spirit. And I sat in my dorm room and I sat down and I had read a couple of books on baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of them said is faith acts. You have to speak. You have to make a sound. You pray and you receive. And we didn't even look at that scripture here over in Luke 11. But we have to reference that one at least. Let's at least look at Luke chapter 11. Somewhere I had it. It's on your paper too, isn't it? Thank you. Luke 11, 9. Because Jesus is speaking again. And this was my hang-up. I'm just telling you, you might not have ever had this. But my hang-up was, my denomination said it passed away. It wasn't for today. And then worse than that, they said, and if you do speak in tongues, it's of the devil. And I like what a woman evangelist I knew many years ago said. She told her elders in the church when they came and said, now we have to tell you you're possessed, because she was speaking in tongues. And she said, is that a fact? I was a cocktail waitress at the MGM out in Vegas, had three kids out of wedlock, single mother at 22 or 23, serving the devil, snorting coke, shooting drugs. I was one of the devil's best disciples. And then I got born again. And Christ came in and cleaned me from the inside out and gave me a new spirit. And during that whole time, I was 100% for the devil. You know what? He never gave me tongues. But now that I'm born of the Spirit, now that I'm born again and have the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside, now that turkey is going to give me tongues? You can't take it away from me. Come on, just like salvation, you can't take it away from me. Anyway, so that was my hindrance was, what if I pray and I get a false thing? Right? Well, here's the verse that Leonard just talked about here. Luke chapter 11. And Jesus is speaking and he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. Now, verse 11. Suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He won't give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? How many of you natural fathers, if your kid came up and said, hey, could I have a fish? And you go, well, here's a poisonous snake. No, we usually lock those guys up, right? Come on. And it says, and or if he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? In other words, you see the dichotomy, you see the difference here? One is a blessing, one is a cursing. And he's saying, so if you ask your natural father, your human father for something good, and he's not going to give you something bad, then verse 13, if you then being evil or carnal or human or natural, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Everybody say, how much more? How much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So when you ask, you believe that you receive, just like salvation. You believe that you receive salvation, asking Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You believe that you receive, and then when somebody prays for you, or you just pray on your own, I never finished my story. So, I read a couple books. So I'm in my dorm room at Western Michigan University. I'd never heard anybody speak in tongues my whole life. Okay? I'm 18 years old. Never heard anybody speak in tongues before this. In fact, I went to some Pentecostal churches, hoping to hear somebody speak in tongues. And the one that I visited down by the street by my house, a denominational Pentecostal church, I went in there and I looked around the room and they were singing out songs from the same hymn book that we had. And the only difference in the whole service was one little old lady in the front row had one hand up half-mast during the song service. That was it. You know, half-mast, full-mast, anyway. Half-mast. Other than that, there was nothing. And I looked around the room and I saw a bunch of kids that I knew from my high school who I knew were sitting their brains out. I didn't even know there were Christians in school. But I was searching for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I got some books, two books, and one of them said you need to act. If you pray, then faith is action. Right? So I'm in my dorm room, never heard anybody pray in tongues before. And all of a sudden, I said, Lord, I'm just going to begin to speak out. I'm going to open up my mouth, I'm going to make a sound. Come on. Because again, if you're doing one of these, you can't make any sound. And if you're shouting out in your own known language, you can't speak the Holy Spirit. And if you're waiting for words to come up here, now I've only known a couple people in my life who actually saw like a ticker tape and then they're trying to reproduce the words or whatever type of deal. How many of you, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you saw the words before you spoke them? Anybody? Wave at me. One, two, three. Okay, in this whole group here, that's only a few. That's great. How many of you didn't see any words? That's the rest of us. How many of you did it? How many of you heard words and then you tried to speak them? A couple of you, right? How many of you didn't hear or see anything, but you opened your mouth and then a sound came? Come on. And then you began to speak. And so I sat down and in one of the books it said, just take a syllable. Well, you know, being a music major, I just went la, 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 la. Anyway, so I sat down, I prayed the prayer, said, now my big concern is I'm going to get a false spirit, right? Everybody understand? And I prayed the prayer based on Luke chapter 11. And I know you're a good, loving, heavenly Father. And you're not going to let a counterfeit come to me. And I receive in Jesus' name. I'm asking the Father for the Holy Spirit. And I receive right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to act in faith. And I just went, la, la. And how many of you know there's a difference? And that's, we had this for illustration, didn't we? Got to take 2 more minutes. Because Brother Leonard helped me get this out here. Some of you, I don't know where the team is at. They need to be watching this too. All right, music team, get out here so you can see my great illustration. We spared no expense for it. Literally no expense. I took it from the kitchen. Many of you, let me say it this way. You know the scripture says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
Right? Some people are satisfied with the well of salvation. They dip in there, pull it up, take a little sip, and then they go on about their life. You know, you can be filled with the Spirit. This is being filled. We have many, many, many fillings in our life. Through our life, the Bible says over in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled. And it means that word there, the verb is filled and filled and filled and filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of getting drunk with wine, I know it's easier to just drink a six-pack and get a buzz than it is to sit down and pray in tongues for half an hour for some of you. Okay? But I'm telling you, there's many, 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 many fillings in life. And you can get filled, and then what happens when you give out? Now you need to be filled again. So you get filled again. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, you are born again. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. What does the word baptized mean? Talk, shout at me. Baptized means to sprinkle you as a baby. Baptized means immerse. You have the Holy Spirit. You are born again. Everybody see that? Now you're not only filled, you are consumed, overflown, baptized, covered, saturated, completely full, and surrounded with the Holy Spirit. This is baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is being endued with power from on high. Because it's not just a little filling every once in a while. It's not just taking a sip. Come on. You are immersed in the presence of God. This is why we are filled with power. Come on. To minister. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls?
Yeah.
You ever take the tour where you have to put on that rain jacket and you walk on out there and one more step and you be in oblivion? Do you see that just the power, the rush? Or you're in the boat and they come close there and that water. If you took one step under there, there wouldn't be an inch on your body that's not completely soaked. Because of the power of that Niagara Fall. We have the Holy Ghost. Power within and upon. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, why do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You might be content to just walk around and occasionally get a little filling. But I've found in my life, I don't know about you, but I leak. And so you get a little filling, that's great. Touches your life for a little bit. Get another filling, that's great. But come on, there's something different when you are completely submerged and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who wants the anointed water? 1995. No. Come on, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you have never spoken in tongues. Some of you were baptized in the Holy Spirit when you were a kid. And you spoke in tongues once, or you got disappointed because you only spoke one syllable and you never went on. I never finished my story. So I did la 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 la, la la la, kore sheve damando kura bashile vere, and it went on for 2.5 hours. I sang in tongues. It didn't repeat. There was no repetition. It was new words just flowing on out of me. I know this pea brain cannot manufacture words for 2.5 hours. Let alone, 20 minutes or 2 minutes. And it wasn't coming from here. It was coming from in here. From my inner man, my spirit man. 2.5 hours. I wanted to prove out that this really wasn't something I made up in my mind. You know what I did? I took a book. I took my roommate. I said, give me a book that I've never seen before, and I will pray in tongues, and I will read with my mind, silently with my mind, and I'll pray in tongues, and I could do it. Because one's coming out of your spirit, the other's coming out of your mind. And I said, now quiz me on that chapter. And I could tell him everything that my mind took in while my spirit was praying. I wanted so bad to find out what language I was praying in, but it's been dozens of different sounding languages, right, through the years. But I went to the language department at Western Michigan University, tried to find one of the most knowledgeable professors, and he was too busy. Because I would say, listen to me, tell me which language this is. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you got stuck on one syllable. I had a roommate. We prayed for him. He got stuck on tukka. Tukka, tukka, tukka. Tukka, 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 tukka. He was stuck in that for 3 months. 11 o'clock at night, me and another roommate, who we'd gotten spirit-filled, so there's three of us now, three amigos, we'd sat down after a busy schedule of school and work and all that. We would sit down at 11 o'clock and we'd just pray together in the Holy Ghost. We didn't know why. Some older brother, been saved 20 minutes longer than us, said, go home and pray in tongues. We said, okay. So we sat and we prayed in tongues, and then the gifts of the Spirit began to manifest. Then we had tongue interpretation, prophecy began to go on. But here's this poor brother stuck on tukka. And I remember pulling the other brother aside. Do you think that's real? I mean, I could make up tukka. Anybody could go tukka, tukka, right? Could make up something like, or in the denominational Pentecostal churches, they usually start you off with shandala. Shandai, shandai. Anybody ever start with shandai, shandai? See my bow tie? No, anyway. Who stole my Honda? No, it was a Suzuki. Anyway. People do that, trying to be well-meaning to try and get you prompted. But you don't need that. Anyway, so this brother, I'll give him credit. For 3 months, he stuck there with his tukka. We're praying in all these languages. And after 3 months, all of a sudden, boom, he had a breakthrough and he's in a fluent language. Praying in the Spirit. Come on. He didn't give up. He was using that tukka for all it was worth. Come on. He was not going to let... he was not going to be denied. Come on. Well, I got prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I felt some words pop up, but I didn't speak them out because if it's God, He'll make me do it. He'll take a hold of my tongue and my mouth and my lips. Did you not remember the verse where it said, and they began to speak?
That's right.
Well, I don't want it. I want it to be God and not me. Hello, you're in your body.
Yes.
It's going to be you because it's your mouth and your lips and your voice.
Yes.
Come on, your air.
Yes.
The words are from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From your spirit. Everybody understand? So some of you got stuck. Some of you said, it's just not for me. It's for everybody else, but not for me. And some of you took this lie of the enemy that says, well, God just must not love me as much because He didn't give it to me. Wrong. It's there. There's some hindrance. And I've talked about a few of them today. So don't give up and pray again. Some of you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke a lot in tongues when you were a little kid, and then you let it fall by the wayside. You didn't see any benefit for it. Come on, we have books, I think, in the bookstore. 70 reasons to pray in tongues. Come on, or we can get you one. So don't give up. Some of you need to be re-immersed in the Holy Spirit. Re-baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because you've gone dry. Every once in a while you get a little sip. But you've gone dry and you just need to be thrown back in and immersed with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Come on. That can happen today. That can happen right now. Right now. The joy of your salvation can be restored. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a charismatic thing. It's a Bible thing. It's a Christian thing. Every Christian can avail themselves of this gift from God of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to say to me, I don't speak in tongues, that's not my thing, but I prophesy, and I cast out devils, and I heal the sick, I'll say, okay, you can still speak in tongues.
That's right.
But you at least are moving in the gifts of the Spirit.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
What do we want to do? What should we do right now? If there's anybody here who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now again, tongues are the byproduct of being filled, immersed, baptized, overflowing in the Holy Spirit. What's the number one reason to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Power to be a witness. That's the number one reason, right? Power to be a witness. The side benefit is it opens up the whole moving of the gifts of the Spirit for us. Amen? Speaking in tongues. So if there's anybody who hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and wants to have hands laid on them or wants to come forward so we can pray for you, we will do that. Now's a good time to come forward. If you once spoke in tongues and you've let it fall by the wayside and you need the pump primed, you need to stir yourself up again, you want to move in that again, you want to stir yourself, then come to the front for that too. Come on, if there's anybody who wants to respond, something I said today provoked your heart to stir you up. You haven't been praying in tongues for a while. Anybody at all? I'm going to just give you a second. Give you a second to come to the front if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come on. Anybody else? There's more. Or you want to be, I don't want to say the word re-baptized, but you want to be rekindled, re-stirred up. Anybody else? Come on to the front. If you're on the platform, you can come down from the platform. And we will pray for you. We will believe with you. Hallelujah. Here's a couple coming here. Amen. Anybody else? I'm looking up here. I'm scanning. Anybody else? Anybody out here? Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to just read together through this. I want you to read this out loud, right? Oh, here we go. Come on. Anybody? There's room. There's plenty of room up here. Plenty of room up here. So we're going to read through this. Now, again, remember, who did the speaking in tongues? They did. Who gave the words? Holy Spirit. You have to open your mouth and you have to give a sound. And then the words will flow. So let's look what it says here. Let's everybody just read it out loud. Is that okay? Anybody else? We still have more if you want to come. Anybody else up here? Okay. Everybody good? All right. Then softly pray in the Spirit up here yourself right now. Congregation, you just softly pray in the Spirit. Right, for a moment right now. Stir yourself right now. Get some faith built in the room for these folks to receive. Everybody ready? Here we go. Luke. All right. Hallelujah. Any more? Here comes another. Come on. This is Holy Ghost Pentecost Day. Huh? 11:9.
Yeah, Luke.
Yep, we got one more. Oh, put it up on the screen, will you? Luke 11:9-13. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, just spread across here. Make some room. You guys just spread across here. You can start speaking right now. You don't even have to wait to pray with us. You don't have to have hands laid on you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Elders, why don't you come on up here and just stand up here with us in faith right now. Come on. You can come on up if you're going to come to receive. Elders, stand up here facing them. We're just going to pray and believe right now. Anyone else? Come on. Hallelujah. All right. Luke 11. Luke 11. Come on, if you're just stuck, maybe you're stuck on Tucker. Come on. You're stuck on one syllable. Let's break it free today. Let's let that river of living water flow through you today. Amen? This is such a powerful gift that we need to avail ourselves of. This brings the presence of God. And one of the things I didn't say is all of a sudden the Word of God will come alive because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you interpreting the Scripture to you. But anyway, we got enough here? Enough copies? All right. And Leonard has more if you need a copy. Okay. So you guys, congregation, read it with us. Okay? You guys read on the paper here. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You about to knock right now? It's going to be opened for you. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? No! If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Of course not. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No. If you then, being human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Come on, let's keep going. So we're going to ask the heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues as a sign. Remember, you can't speak in English and tongues at the same time, so pray only in the Spirit, not in English. Okay, repeat this prayer. Stop and listen to the Lord for about 10 seconds, and then just begin to pray in the Spirit. Open your mouth and make a sound. Okay, you ready? Here's your prayer. This is your prayer. Father, you said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You give good gifts to your children. I'm your child. So I ask you for the free gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues right now. Thank you for giving it to me. It's mine. I received it. All right, just take a second here. Just turn internal right now. Let the Lord begin to give you something. And then in a second, I'm going to say go, and we're all just going to begin to speak. Make a sound and allow the river to flow out of your mouth. Come on, remember, you can't hold your mouth quenched. You got to open it up. Ready? Go! Everybody else, pray in the Spirit for a moment. You have to open your mouth and you have to make a sound. Open your mouth wide, he will fill it. Okay, elders are going to come and just lay hands on you too and stir up the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Elders, come around. Stir up the Holy Spirit on the inside. Lay hands on those. Let them begin to receive in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the ability to speak in other tongues. Lord, I thank you, shyness being overcome, and for them to begin to make a sound, open their mouth, and then let your river flow forth through them. I thank you for that, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, according to the Scriptures, just like it said there in the book of Acts, that the apostles came and laid hands upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy, began to proclaim the wonders of God. So we begin to speak right now. Zorapakia. Come on, a little bit louder. Just let it release. Let it come. You'll see it's coming from your spirit, your inner man, and not from your mind. Hallelujah. So, Rababaka, with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak through my people. Let the river flow. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for baptism in the Holy Spirit. We thank you. Holy Ghost. They open their mouth and they make a sound. Come on, keep praying. You won't know that it's real until you keep praying. Just open your mouth and make a new sound. And so we just thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's born again. She loves Jesus. You said you'd give her this gift. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. You have to open your mouth and make a sound. You have to open your mouths and make a sound. Holy Spirit won't possess you and force you. You have to open your mouths and make a sound. Those of you that are praying in tongues for the first time or you've renewed that, keep praying. Keep praying. You're praying and stirring the atmosphere for others to believe and receive. Thank you, Jesus.
14 years ago, I started out with, oh, Bahama Mama.
Well, if you got your brain out of the way afterwards, that was good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's Otababareya. Everybody pray in the Spirit. Come on. Holy Spirit, just like a wind, like a rushing fire, like a mighty wind, come and fill this house. Come and fill these houses, these temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray right now that this place will be shaken, even like Acts chapter 4, as they prayed and they were all filled afresh, filled again with the Holy Spirit, and began to proclaim and speak the word of God with boldness, and signs and wonders and extraordinary miracles began to take place. Lord, we pray right now that this would be a house that would be known for this again, Lord, in a powerful way. Lord, there'd be demonstration, there'd even be fire on the rooftop. Lord, we thank you for moving in this place, that revival's in this house. Lord, we thank you for infilling of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, refilling, Lord, overflowing right now in Jesus' name. Stir up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Come on. Paul said, you give thanks well, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in your known language, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let the fire of God rise up in these young people, O God. Let your fire rise up in these young people, O God. Set them ablaze for your glory, Lord God. Let them be the revival fire brands, Lord God, wherever they're at. Let your fire just be burning upon them. Lord, even in the night season, waking them up to pray for their friends, praying in the Spirit, praying for them to be saved. Lord God, we thank you for making yourself real to them in Jesus' name in a powerful way. We thank you, Lord God. Filling them up, Lord, stirring them up for revival in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. So rabakiste. Hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, glory, Jesus. Worthy, worthy. Come on, just stand your feet, church, and begin to pray. Just begin to entreat the Lord. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let Him flow through you right now. Come on, you can stand your feet for a moment. Let's just pray. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you that on this Pentecostal Sunday, that you are visiting people with Pentecost, their own personal Pentecost. We thank you for it. Oh, Saranande. Worthy, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Mighty God, let your wind sweep over this whole congregation, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As we're worshiping you and magnifying you, we also thank you for healings happening right now in this house. Lord, we thank you for healings, manifestations, deliverances. Lord, we thank you for blessing and touching every cell of everybody in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep speaking. Keep speaking. Worthy, worthy, worthy Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy. We magnify you, Lord. Ha. Worthy, 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 Lord. Worthy, 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 Lord. You know, you could also sing in the Spirit. You can sing with the understanding, sing with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Sora manane ki sora vere. Era na 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 ne bra na ne ondora de. Osho sora vare pra na 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 yore. Era na 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 de si sora vare de de da. Let the Holy Spirit sing through you praises to your Father God. E pro non non he frare se ondo rebeki. E pro non non ara, worthy, worthy, worthy. E pro toshi sarabere. Che ondo no mamma marrelea. Corra baba sistere. Come on, church, don't get weary. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just stir up some things. Let's begin to intercede for some things. Let's begin to praise and thank the Lord for some things. Let's begin to intercede right now for this house too. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Pray through you the perfect will and mind of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, everybody, just stop for a second. Stop in tongues right now. Stop in English right now. I just want you to see that you can speak anytime. You have to open your mouth back up right now, and He'll give you the words again. So let's do that, church. Ready? In the name of Jesus. So ramanane ki sere. Korama ke pranana evera non no verrenene se. You don't have to have a feeling. You don't have to have this environment. You can do this all day long. At home. At school. At work. So ramamare ke. Come on, just release again. Hallelujah. So rave yonno marrene. E prano yonno revesi se. E to korana lando revesi ste. Na la re re on no na ma re re ki se re re. Oh, Raman, this is the refreshing wherewith the weary shall be refreshed. Praying in the Holy Spirit, singing in the Holy Spirit. Oh, Raman, na ki se. Welcoming the presence of the Lord. La da ma ma re ne ke so da ba re re. Oh, jana na ma ma na na de de na ma ma do do shi ste. Hey, la na 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 ba ma na na de.